This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Excellent weather today. Highs of 15 degrees centigrade, lows of 13 degrees centigrade. It's going to be generally dry and bright, but there will be a risk of a few showers. So a bit like life in many ways, Richard Fitzwilliams.
Indeed, yes, but one has to say that life at the time of festivals, and also with certain films, particularly good ones, being released in the cinemas, always look on the bright side of it, that's what I say.
Oh, sounds like a Python moment to me. But moving on, the London Film Festival and Hugh Grant, of course.
You know. Yes, Hugh Grant, a name still to conjure with, and I've been following Hugh Grant's career since, say, won an award for Morris, and this really takes you back over 20 years. An actor who's two of his films, I mean, Four Weddings and also Notting Hill, the gross total was more than that one for, I think, any other actors, any other British actor. I mean, a remarkable figure. But what always interested me about Hugh Grant, on one hand, you've got this floppy-haired, self-deprecating, stuttering, quintessentially English, upper-class type, and the other, you've got character who can play, an actor can play really unpleasant Machiavellian characters, and also can play absolute sleazeballs, and also can play very confused failures. It's actually, it's a many-layered selection of talent, and one of the things about Hugh Grant is that because Notting Hill and Four Weddings were so successful, people haven't necessarily remembered other films in which he has been extremely good. Small Time Crooks for Woody Allen, for example, and most particularly About a Boy, which I think was really perhaps the best film he's ever appeared in. And what we have now is the rewrite, a fourth film he and director Mark Lawrence have done together. He does tend to, for Mark Lawrence, play Englishmen in America with American girlfriends or partners. And a movie that I found absolutely delightful, and it brought me back to the 1990s, because I was at the post-premiere party of Four Weddings and a Funeral, and that was when I first met Hugh Grant, and there was this glorious creature in the room who was kind of certain Versace dress held together by safety pins, and at the time, I have to admit, I didn't know who it was.
You see, let's just hold it there, Richard, because you said the safety pin dress, and I'm thinking, actually, in many ways, yes, Emma Tinson could well be the Elizabeth Hurley of the 21st century. I mean, I think that's definitely there. But would you? We've just been talking about how Emma had the experience of going to for a Duke of Edinburgh testing thing with her Lambda distinction, so that's and you were in high heels, I believe.
Yeah, well, I had my Duke of Edinburgh award walk on the same day as my Lambda exam, so my feet were killing me a little bit by the time I got to the exam, and I was playing a sort of very upper class fancy character in high heels.
The sort of character Hugh Grant would probably go for.
Yes,
really.
Probably. So I was tottering about in these heels, and my feet, I thought, were going to fall off.
And Richard, you and I both know that when the heels are on, it can be agony on the
bunions. But tougher for beauty, you know.
this is true. Anyway, carry on, Richard.
The rewrite, what particularly interests me, again, this is a movie, it's rather like Music and Lyrics, where he played opposite Drew Barrymore. I mean, here he plays Keith, who is a screenwriter whose career has hit the absolute pits. Not only were the studios not interested in him, his private life is a total disaster, he's got no money, but the only place he can get a job is Brighampton to teach a screenwriting class, and he believes that screenwriting can't be taught. And now, this is a movie where Grant's got a particular technique, an acerbic joke or an ironic remark or a rude comment, and subsequently some sort of self-deprecating apology, this sort of technique. But I found it's very touching because he's playing someone absolutely at the end of his tether, but it's a very, very interesting insight into failure and into the way, no spoilers, but it's a rom-com, but the movie set in academia, you often get good scripts, and this is one example. Well, and Marisa Tomei is the mature student, the single mom who is the love interest. But it's far more than that. It's a really interesting character study, and I thought a movie that has yet to be released in America, would you believe?
The good news, Richard, is that the biography in terms of Lincoln's very own Odeon Cinema is screening, and it's a little line, an Oscar-winning writer in a slump leaves Hollywood to teach screenwriting at a college on the East Coast, where he falls for a single mom taking classes there. Yeah. Does that appeal to your good self, Jessica?
I'd probably check it out, out of curiosity.
Tomorrow, because actually next week, effectively, Jessica will be in London, Richard. She'll be attending a very important event with the Duke of Edinburgh.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes,
because you will be a Duke of Edinburgh Gold Award-winning person.
Very much so, yes.
Oh, that's marvellous. No, because that award, which the Duke founded in the 1950s, it has helped millions throughout the Commonwealth. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it to anybody. It's such a great award.
We might do a phone link with you en route. But anyway. Right, Richard, does that pretty much put to bed the rewrite?
Yes, with a recommendation and the fact that Hugh Grant is one of our top actors with a range, as I say, far more remarkable than most... Don't seem to give him credit for.
Don't forget Mickey Blue Eyes, of course.
Mickey Blue Eyes was one of the two movies. The other was Extreme Measures, which he co-produced with Elizabeth Hurley for Simeon Films. Opposite James Caan, reports where they didn't get on. The movie got critical thumbs down, but I had quite a lot to laugh at it.
Well, there we have it. So on the basis of what Richard has actually shared with us this morning, is the rewrite something you're going to be checking out, Emma?
I'm not normally a massive one for rom-coms. I'm not going to lie.
Hugh Grant, but, what about him?
Exactly. I hate to say, but I haven't actually seen that many Hugh Grant films, which is shocking.
But I did
find him really funny in Love Actually and Music and Lyrics and Bridget Jones and that kind of thing. So I might check it out.
What a good idea.
There we are.
But if you want something more serious, there is 71.
Exactly.
The setting is Northern Ireland. 1971 is Time of the Troubles. And Jack O'Connell, and we saw him in Starred Up as an offender, an absolutely brilliant actor. I mean, this is someone who really is going places. He plays Gary Hook. This is his first tour of duty. A fierce riot begins, the troops are ill-protected, and he's sucked into the rioting, lost, and stumbles into derelict and dangerous areas of Belfast. There is a lot to recommend in this movie because you've got bombed out streets, cars that are set alight, and you never know, of course, who you run into. It could be the IRA, it could be a splinter group of the IRA, it could be British operatives who are setting off bombs for their own purposes. It's a tense thriller. It's written by Gregory Burke, who did the play Black Watch. I didn't see it, but it got remarkably good reviews. It's directed by Jan Demange, and it has a first-class actor at its core. I would make the point, however, that Sean Harris is miscast as an operative who appears in British Army headquarters giving orders to uniformed officers with moustache, long hair, and just in civvies. It's a sort of point that the movie, which on the whole is subtle, that the British used undercover agents to stir up all sorts of trouble, well, undoubtedly, but not quite, I suspect, in this way. But this is a movie that will grip you. You will be drawn into the heart of darkness at the beginning of the Troubles.
Well, there we are. What do you make of that one, Jessica?
That's more of my scene. I would definitely go and watch that.
There we are.
I've always found, the clashes between Northern Ireland and Ireland really fascinating. And so,
when you say Northern Ireland and Ireland, I suppose we're probably really thinking about the clashes between the Catholic elements and the Protestant elements, etc. It's a fine-tuning thing. Let's just get on together. That's the important thing. Yeah, that's the way about the whole thing. Goodness me.
It's so important. And being in Dublin, staying at Trinity, and I remember talking about this a bit earlier in the year, and It really is so poignant to go around and see sights in the city, and you think of how English parts of it are and how troubled so much of the history between Ireland and...
Let's face it, you do want to go in there saying, that Oliver Cromwell, what a guy, you know, if you really want to sort of be positive, you know, let's be honest.
I do think that is... Real honesty, yes, two massacres.
Precisely, exactly. It's just not going to work. Emma, your thoughts on 71?
Yeah, I mean, I generally love any historical kind of films. I wanted to ask you, Richard, is it quite action-y as well?
There is a certain amount of action in it, but one of the strengths of the film is that here is this young soldier, he's wounded, he is completely separated from his unit, and you don't know what action is going to be around the corner, so to speak. That's one of the reasons for the drama, the tension of the movie. There's a very well-staged riot at the beginning, and that's when he gets lost, and by lost, I certainly mean you really don't know if you're going to survive, where he'll end up, who he'll meet, small boys on the street, how can they perhaps even help, or what about a medic that he happens to stumble into, or what about the various...
Richard, you're just leaving the narratives in all sorts of wonderful ways there. I know you've got to scoot off now because you've got an appointment in a few moments' time, so I will ask Jessica to bowl those last two questions towards you.
Hello, have you enjoyed this week's show?
Enormously, I most certainly have.
Good. And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Absolutely, and also, of course, next week we'll be able to review the London Film Festival, and so many exhibitions, too, are very exciting.
You know, it's time. I mean, I know that Jessica's down in London next week, but I think it's time we actually sort of got another London trip. We're thinking about October 31st. It's a possibility. Meanwhile... From Sting, for Hugh, Richard Fitzwilliams. We'll speak to you very soon. Bye for now.
I look forward to it.
I don't drink coffee, I take tea, my dear. I like my toast on one side.
So after the excitement of Annette André in person in the studio yesterday, we managed to get her back to Newark. That's Newark, Lincolnshire, as opposed to Newark, New Jersey. Although it's a possibility. Finally settled down around about 10 o'clock. Get a text coming through saying, can I be on the show tomorrow? About sort of 8:15, can I do that? I thought, what the hey? Yeah, after all, as Phil Leaders would say.
Katie Grimason, Birmingham's gift to the galaxy on the midweek drive for Siren FM and more.
Well done on getting gainful employment, Katie. William Sitwell will be duly proud and pleased of you. How are you?
Oh, I'm speechless. I've actually got a job. I've tried hard enough.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah,
exactly. You see, doing a degree in American Studies is good for you, even though, of course, that program is now closed at the University of Lincoln. But never mind, it helped you. You know, helped you along the way to that whole side of things. So share with us, what are you doing within the jewellery quarter of Birmingham?
Basically, it's a small online marketing company, and I have to do like search engine optimization. Well, that's what I'm learning at the minute, and I'm just working on a couple of projects, really, just tweaking, editing stuff, and doing loads of social media. So it's really cool.
Well, it has been thought, and I'm not sure whether you actually caught this on the show last night, that Annette André, Annette André will be coming to Birmingham, the Birmingham NEC. On November the 22nd, we may be doing an outside location report there. That's exciting, isn't it, Katie?
Oh, I think you should.
Yeah. You see, it might well be sort of your chance to actually meet the class of 2014-15 on the Midweek Drive. Midweek Drive, that's, of course, Emma Tinson and Jessica Ward. It's nice to know that you like the photographs I put up on Facebook. It's very good. Yes, yeah, very positive. Anyway, Jessica, any questions for Katie?
What are you looking forward to the most in this job?
Well, I'm looking forward to actually being paid to do this job, because I've done loads of voluntary stuff to do with marketing.
Yeah.
And it's been good experience, but I just want to be paid now, so I'm looking forward to getting some money.
It's very understandable.
It is, yeah. Astounding, though, that a graduate should actually wish to actually receive payment for this. Sometimes. Katie, you just continue to just shock us in every sense of the word. Emma, thoughts for yourself? Because obviously, in what, about another four terms from now, you indeed will be heading into the job market, etc.
Oh, gosh, don't say that. It's scary. So, Katie, are you going to splash out now that you're getting paid and buy yourself something? Buy yourself something nice. I think you deserve it.
I'm probably going to buy myself another bottle of perfume.
Oh, lovely.
That's my collection.
Yes, the Grimason perfume collection is obviously what
we want. I am a bit of a perfume addict.
It is the way you can actually sense you're approaching Erdington in Birmingham. I mean, as Ed Wellman said, just use the olfactory lobes. Just sniff. It's all great stuff there. A special day today, of course, Katie, not only because obviously you're heading off to work, but it is Natalie Tuck's birthday.
Happy birthday, Natalie.
There we are, you see, that sort of thing.
If she's listening.
That's what podcasts are for. You know, she'll be sorting out various other bits and pieces, but the message has been said. It will go out there in every sense of the word. Okay, still to come on the programme today, we'll be finding out about playwright Steve Burbage and his latest sort of fantastic tale about coping with AIDS and a variety of other packages as well. Donna Dawson will be explaining why, astonishingly, many, many couples keep financial secrets from themselves. Including, actually, the average secret stash in most relationships is over £20,000. You know, just wow. £20,000 nobody knew existed, you know. We'll find a bit more about that from Donna. And, of course, we've got Jo Hamilton. This week, I am assured that she will be joining us, Jessica, because I know we played some Jo Hamilton last week. Mm-hmm. And we were a little bit sad that she wasn't able to actually make it, but that's from Fractal's Box. Coming, of course, to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre later on in the year. And, of course, Countryside Live is with us. Now, Katie, you might like to share some advice and thoughts with Emma and Jessica, because they're going to be having their first ever location report with Ed and myself at Countryside Live this weekend, of course, at the Yorkshire Harrogate Showground. Can you cast your mind back a year ago to when you sort of had your experience of Countryside Live?
I can't really know.
No, so it's highly memorable, obviously. You know. Can I give you a sort of New Zealand sheep shearers?
Oh, yeah, that was quite good.
What's the difference between that and regular sheep shearers?
It's just more awesome.
Not biased at all.
Clearly, that message is there. Looking at the sort of routine for this year, again, a whole heap of things. We'll be speaking to show director Bill Cowling. We've got Diggerland, we've got the Sheep Show, we've got a range of pony rides and a whole stack of other things from that point of view. The Petting Farmyard, Birds of Prey, One Man and His Pig, sounding particularly interesting, aww. I think. Well, we'll do that. Create and Explore Pavilion and more. And it's also very special because it's going to be Bill Cowling's last show as show director. Yes, after 10 years, he's moving into other areas. We'll talk with Bill about that sort of shortly after 9 a.m. this morning. All right, that's it for the moment. But Jessica, I think it's time that you sort of just, because obviously we can't keep Katie, you know, she's got to get out there. She can't be late on the whole thing, all sorted through there. She's got to sort of plan the whole thing through. So what are the last two questions we need to put to Miss Grimason now?
It's me. Oh, have you enjoyed the show today, this morning?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
And although she hasn't been listening to it because she's been too busy getting ready for work. You can have it on in the background, of course.
Dedication.
Yeah, it's very true.
I could do. Yeah.
And will we be hearing from you in the near future?
Yeah, of course you will.
Yeah, yay. Keep us updated on life, the universe, times in Birmingham. It's like a new house, it's a new job, it's a new experience. It's Siren 107.3 FM. And it's 23 minutes past 8. All the fields are used to run through. Summer stretches out for 7 weeks in June. Was there more light, more time than he ever knew?